If pain is holding you back from doing the things you love most, try Arnicare. It's perfect for soothing sore muscles as well as healing bruises. Arnicare is made with the natural pain-relieving plant, Arnica. Arnicare gel absorbs quickly, it's not sticky, and it's fragrance-free. Look for Arnicare at your local Walmart, Walgreens, Whole Foods, Amazon, or anywhere you shop. Plus, with thousands of five-star reviews, you know it's good stuff. Learn more at arnicare.com/iHeart. That's arnicare.com/iHeart.
Hey, this is Mike Zwick from If Not For God podcast. Our show, Stories of Hopelessness Turned into Hope. Your chosen Truth Network podcast is starting in just seconds. Enjoy it. Share it. But most of all, thank you for listening and for choosing the Truth Podcast Network.
This is the Truth Network.
Grab your seat. It's the center stage event of the night, the interview with the Russian Sickle, or some know him as the Russian Nightmare. He was the most hated man in the world at one time, or the most hated wrestler, Nikita Koloff. And this is a podcast that we've meshed together two recent broadcast interviews we've done with Nikita Koloff. What a mighty man of God. Wait till you hear his testimony, from winning the world championship to winning souls for Christ. Nikita Koloff on today's Truth Talk podcast. Please share this and make sure you regularly subscribe to this and all of our awesome Truth Network podcast. Here's the program. Here's the interview that I did with Nikita Koloff, the Russian Nightmare. From crushing opponents in the ring at the highest level of professional wrestling, to putting on the armor of God and going after in the spiritual warfare. This man of God with me is, this guy is a double hero of mine, both as a, when I was a kid watching pro wrestling, and as a man of God who's brought so many to Christ, Nikita Koloff. I can't believe I'm around this guy and I'm still living to tell about it. Also known as the Russian Monster and all kinds of other little things. Nikita, what do you think, man?
The Russian ambassador, the Russian nightmare. Now I'm the devil's worst nightmare. I once was the nightmare in the wrestling ring. Now I'm the devil's worst nightmare.
That is awesome. And so I want to hear a little bit about your testimony. And it's just so glad to have you on. And I've heard you speak. And you've got a great, you know, you've got a book, I believe, that's has either come out or is coming out. You got some good things happening in your ministry.
I do. I've actually written three books. I'm revising one. I'm writing a brand new one. Lot going on in that space. And then, you know, once we get past all of this kind of weird, crazy stuff, I'll be back on the road and in the airwaves, traveling the world and preaching the gospel of Jesus.
So. Amen. And you have a thing called Man Camp. You're encouraging men to wake up. You travel with your other, you know, legendary wrestling man, Lex Luger. I tell you what, you guys together, scary. You alone is a formidable thing, but, you know, Lex Luger too. But what in the world? Can God really change and transform a rough, tough, rugged, hardened, body-slamming, pile-driving, Russian sickle, clothes-lining pro wrestler? Can God really do that? Is this possible? Talk to me, man.
I'm thinking if he could save me, he could save anybody. I'm thinking, you know, it's interesting. Even on your introduction, I was thinking about, you know, a champion in the ring. I like to say, once a champion in the ring, now a champion for Jesus. And actually now wrestling for the ultimate. He's the ultimate champion, right? Yeah. I mean, the belt really belongs around his waist for what he did on a cross, right? When he substituted himself for all of us. And so, yeah, I just feel fortunate, you know, after I left the wrestling world back in the tail end of 1992 and made a decision early 93 to bronze the boots, so to speak, and walk away from wrestling, found myself about 11 months later at an altar, surrendering my life on my knees to the Lord Jesus. Life's never been the same since.
Isn't that something?
Yep.
So what was it that got your heart? You know, here you'd lived, you had a prodigious career in wrestling. You just, God had blessed you. You'd been at the very top of your game, and you'd faced opponents like Ric Flair, like Sting, like Lex Luger, like the Road Warriors, Dusty Rhodes. Don't even get me started. Tully Blanchard, the Four Horsemen, you know, Arn Anderson, Ollie Anderson, partnered with the other feared Russian cousin of yours, Ivan Koloff. And but so what was it that turned your heart to Christ? Obviously, God saves us, and that sort of, you know, we know that. But what was it that with all of that in your life, what was it, the intersection that you came to?
Well, my story's not like some of the other guys in that, you know, I didn't come out of a world of drugs. You know, I wasn't delivered and set free from drug addiction. I've never messed with drugs. I've never smoked pot in my life. I mean, I just that never appealed to me. I wasn't an alcoholic. My dad was a 25-year alcoholic before he grabbed the old rugged cross and got set free of alcoholism. That wasn't an issue for me. I wasn't what I would consider to be a real womanizer. I mean, that wasn't my world. It was more for me coming from the pinnacle of success, if you will, right? And in the wrestling world as a world champion in wrestling, and just coming to the realization that I'm successful, but I'm unfulfilled. I'm like, this is it. I mean, I've climbed the ladder of success. I've become, traveled the world. I have name recognition around the world, you know, not like a Michael Jordan, you might say, or an Elvis Presley, but I still had worldwide name recognition, but yet something was still missing. Mm. And so it was really kind of a journey for me looking back how the Lord really was, I feel, working on me even when I wasn't living for Him. And it just, I met a Christian couple through business after leaving wrestling. They invited me to their church. I didn't grow up in church, but I wasn't ignorant to church either. I mean, I frequented a few times, all for the wrong reasons. No time to get in that today. But all that to say, they had invited me, and it was a week that I just felt prompted to call them and say, hey, I'll be there Sunday. And I'd never been to that church before in Concord, North Carolina. They met me there, and it was my day. It was the day that I was set free. It was the day, a divine appointment for me to meet Jesus at the altar, 17 October 1993.
Wow, and then fast forward. Now, you know, you show up at a campsite or you show up at a big men's event like we've done that our friend, mutual brother Roy, puts together, you know, this awesome, you know, men's group in Kernersville, North Carolina, but all over the country, all over the world, and you have this big strapping, still strapping pro wrestling, former pro wrestler champion, you're challenging men. Tell us about that in the man camps and how God's now put you in a place where you're leveraging all of that, your background, to bring men up in Christ.
Yeah, and I appreciate that. You know, you said wake up, man. You know, wake man up, I think is how you, but I'm like, yeah, we want to wake them up, but we want them to wake up, but we also want them to man up.
Yeah.
And God really just put men on my heart, and I know I can speak for Lex as well, the total package, Lex Luger, and guys like Roy. God's just put men in my heart. Now, I say that to say, obviously, there's a lot of men. There's a lot of women wrestling fans as well. I realize that. In fact, I even have women go, hey, how come you're not doing a camp for women? I'm like, well, because God hasn't called me to do a camp for women. But if He does, I'll consider it. But and so, Lex and I got this vision in 2015 to do these one-day man-up conferences, just challenging men to be healthy spiritually, mentally, emotionally, physically, taking all of our combined years of experience and sharing that with other men. Awesome. And then that's an appetizer. And if they want more, then they can come to a five-day catalyst called Man Camp. And man, we'll deep dive. And we'll go deep into what it looks like, what the Bible says about being healthy as men.
Okay, that's so cool. And so you'll hear this program. This is a program you'll hear, but you want to go to Nikita Koloff's website for the upcoming, it's all at your website, I guess, so the upcoming camps, the details, how men can sign up for that. Women, this could be a great Father's Day gift for your husband. I tell you what, you're not going to be the same after going to this thing where they get challenged, encouraged, blessed by godly men pouring in their life, real discipleship. Pastors come. Men's ministry should come. Anyone can come, I guess, right? As long as there are men and they want to, they're open. They bring an unstable friend.
Yep, men 18 years and up of all backgrounds and all from all over the country. They'll fly in, they'll drive in, they'll come, and they just have a hunger for God. Men, pastors will come because they're hungry or for God. I mean, you know, men out in the marketplace will come, young men, elderly men. We have this upcoming camp in June. Men in their 70s are coming. You know, men in their 20s are coming and gathering together unique groups. We keep it to a small, intimate group. 24 is kind of the max that we'll take. There is still some space. The specific website for that is just mancamp.info. mancamp.info. And my personal site, of course, is NikitaKoloff.com. Yeah.
And if you forget it, just drive by Nikita on the road and you'll see his license plate, which says Mancamp, which is kind of cool. Of course, I have a Christian radio station on my license plate, so either way, we're pointing people to something good. Nikita Koloff, former world champion, pro wrestler, just a really prolific career there. And he loves Jesus, and he is really in the war against flesh and blood. Not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, as he's bringing the gospel to so many people in so many ways, even including this interview, and we're going to make this a podcast. Nikita Koloff, take us home with your challenge to men out there. What's your challenge? You know, there's a struggle. There's lack of commitment. There's lack of leadership. There's lack of serving. There's men like me with daughters and, you know, figuring out being a parent, figuring out being a grandparent. Give us a challenge maybe from the Word or from something God's downloaded into you that you can take us home with right here.
I appreciate it, Stu. And I appreciate you having me on today too as well. And I'll just speak, man, can I just challenge you this? It's all about relationship, right? It's not about religion. It's not about your background, your the label on your shirt or the banner outside on the church sign out front. It's about Jesus living on the inside and then exemplifying that to everyone around us, whether it's a spouse or it's children or those you work with in the marketplace or those you minister alongside with. It's developing a deeper, it's got to be an ongoing daily dive into your love for the Lord, your passion for Him, and then living that, not so much thumping somebody over the head with a scripture or a Bible as much as it is living it, letting others see Christ in and through you. And then if they ask the question, the proverbial question, what makes you different, you are then equipped and prepared to give an answer. Mm. And that's what I challenge you with today.
Amen. That is the voice of wrestling great Nikita Koloff, and I'm so glad that I am going to walk away from this interview. It's very rare that anyone encounters Nikita Koloff for 10 minutes and walked away in the ring, but now they're walking away closer to Christ as I have been enriched, and I hope you have too. Thank you, Nikita. Give us your website one more time for your website and also for the man camp.
Personal website, NikitaKoloff.com. And for the camp, if you're a man out there, we still have space. Come on. Mancamp.info, I-N-F-O, mancamp.info. And as I closed most of my interviews in wrestling, I'll just say, Jatoita!
I love it, but we're not done because for those of you who are still, have downloaded the podcast, this is bonus coverage. Okay, Nikita, without compromising any trade secrets, tell us one of the most cool, weird, fun, trivial things about pro wrestling that no one listening knows. That you would say that's just inside information, but it's just fascinating that one of the things that always you hear, maybe even one of these things of legend that are true or not true.
Well, wrestling today, Stu, is really, it's been an expose over the years. And so everyone at this point, I think, realizes now it's entertainment, right? There was a time, and I was raised up by old school wrestlers, Ivan Koloff and Don Kernodle, that you protected the business, you didn't let out any trade secrets, right, period. Right. But that said, I think one of the most fascinating things, because one of the questions I get all the time now on different interviews and et cetera, and when I'm out doing autograph signings and those sorts of things, and hopefully we'll get back to those, but it is, Nikita, compare the difference between now and back in your day. Well, it's pretty well known now. There's script writers, right? There's writers who write all their interviews, all their matches, and they kind of they write it all out, and then taking nothing away from the athlete, they have to go in and then deliver, right? Well, a bit different in our day. In our day, there was an outcome that was predetermined, but the match itself, if I'm wrestling Ric Flair for an hour, basically 55 minutes of that match is spontaneous improv. Like there's no really, you go to the ring and you tell a story live and in color in the ring that would lead into the outcome. So the outcome was predetermined, but we still had to improvise and spontaneity in the ring. And that was called psychology of wrestling. That's of course lost in today's world because they don't have to think about all, they don't have to think on the fly. They just have to go in and perform a match. Yeah. That's quite unique in today's world versus in the world I wrestled in. One other side note to that then is, if you watch an interview with them, Akandreen, Death of Road, Tau Power, do sweet to be Thawa, if you will, yeah, son of a plumber from Austin, Texas, baby, if you will, Nikita Koloff and I, we are the superpowers, yeah. He goes, my honey, baby, a little bigger than it's supposed to be, my belly a little smaller than, when you saw his interview, that was spontaneous. That was improv.
It almost better than Dusty Rhodes at talking at interviews.
That was improv. Here's the point. We had zero writers for our interviews, any of us. Well, at least I know for him and I. No, nobody wrote our interview. We did that spontaneously.
What was up with Rhodes going after Harley Race when you and Vader were supposed to be in the ring, and then you got clipped from behind all of a sudden?
Well, you know, there are some things that, again, you kind of know what's going to happen. But nevertheless, even though you know what's going to happen, listen, folks, it's a very physical business. When I got slammed on a concrete floor, I assure you my body, even today, feels the effects of that concrete floor.
Okay, but one of my favorite stories is the guy who really mentored you. And this is a great story, by the way. You know, Kobe Bryant said, Michael Jordan was my big brother. Michael Jordan at Kobe Bryant's memorial service. I just did a true commentary on this. He said this. He said, Kobe was my little brother. Mm. And Bryant, you know, Jordan could have said, you know, this little upstart ball hog kid forcing every shot, you know, this and that, waiting for, you know, taking it to them instead of waiting for it to come to him. I'm not going to fool them. But Jordan took it. Jordan gave him his number. You call me anytime, anything you can do for me. And they became friends. And Jordan really big brothered him. And that's kind of a really cool, you know, ESPN is doing their Big Last Dance feature of that final Bulls championship run. And that has come up quite a bit because they've dedicated every one of those episodes to Kobe. But there really wouldn't have been Kobe if it had been for Jordan. And I don't know that there would have been a Nikita Koloff if it weren't for your shorter but you know bigger than life cousin, Ivan Koloff. So talk about that relationship quickly and how God did something after he did something in you in the heart of that man.
Yeah, so I mean, I give Ivan and Don Kernodle as well, who I just talked to the other day. He just celebrated his 70th birthday, by the way, Don Kernodle, and he brought it up again. He talked about the day I broke in and how I broke in, and if it wasn't for really the two of those guys, especially, and others that were a part of my success, but because I walked into it, Stu, with no amateur wrestling background, no professional training, like none, zip, zero. The day I walked into Jim Crockett's office.
You're a big football player, pretty athletic, but this is a whole other sport.
This is a whole different deal, right? And Crockett's instructions when we finished interviews was, be in Raleigh, North Carolina tomorrow night, you're going to wrestle on television. I'd never even been in a ring. And his instructions in Raleigh were, Ivan, if he trips on the ropes, he's history, he's out. So my only goal was, don't trip on the ropes, get in the ring. And I'm like, how hard could that be? If you've never been in a pro wrestling ring, I'm going to tell you right now, harder than you think. All that said, though, 11 seconds later, in my debut, I had my first win in professional wrestling. And to Ivan's credit and Don's, for the next 2 to 3 months, we would get to the towns two, three hours early. And they would bump all over the ring teaching me the mechanics of wrestling.
Yeah, good.
And then I'd have a short match. And then on the drive home that night, this was old school, then we'd talk about the psychology of wrestling, why they did what they did when they did it.
Timing and everything.
And timing and all of that. And that's how I learned the business. Crash course, trial by fire, if you will. And then last but not least, 2 years, about a year and a half, 2 years after I gave my life to Jesus, I had met an evangelist out of South Africa. He was doing revivals in North Carolina. I invited Ivan on a Monday. I'll never forget it. I said, hey, he's here all week. Well, lo and behold, I didn't know he was there two nights later until an invitation and what we know as an altar call was given. And there stood Ivan at the front of the church at the altar, making a decision to give his life to Jesus. Awesome. And the crazy part, the amazing part of that testimony is, on that night, and this happens different for everybody, right? But here's what happened for Ivan. On that night, he went from drug addiction, alcohol addiction, tobacco addiction, cussing like a sailor, to doing none of that overnight. He was set free from all of that. He never said another cuss word. He never had another dip of tobacco. He never had another drink of liquor. He never had another drug. and went on to become an ordained minister and live the rest of his life for Jesus and carry a Bible with him everywhere he went.
That's amazing.
Crazy, amazing story.
Wow. And he's passed away since.
He's walking streets of gold with Jesus, waving at us right now and praying for us.
Waiting for his tag team partner to get up there, right?
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
But God's still using you down here. That's Nikita Koloff. What a great man of God. NikitaKoloff.com, or you can go to mancamp.info, I believe, to sign up for his amazing men's retreat in North Carolina. But guys flying from all over the country to this thing, don't they?
They do. We have guys registered from past camps from Texas, from Nebraska, from Wisconsin, from Minnesota, from Virginia, from Ohio, from all over. And they'll drive in too. They'll drive in, fly in from all over.
So you may not have been a pro wrestler, but whatever you have been, whatever you are doing, God's got you in that so you could point people to Jesus and bring men and women, children to him while we still have time. Seize every moment like this brother, Nikita Koloff, who's been an inspiration to me and so many. God bless you, brother.
God bless you. Thank you for having me, Stu. And God bless all of you out there as well. Bajarosta.
You're listening to the Truth Network and truthnetwork.com.
Our nation's cities have been on fire. Minneapolis, the site of this egregious, brutal police cruelty, murder, this officer with his knee on this man's neck, and the 8 minutes of video that no one wants to watch that just has traumatized so many, and it's led to peaceful protest, but it's led to violent protest. I'm Stu Epperson, and I want to welcome you all, and I'm my heart has been heavy all week, and of course, if anyone that has seen or listened to Christian Radio, like so many people listen to this program, I want to say hey to all of our brand new AFR listeners on stations across the country, across the world that are listening, all of our great affiliates of this program. But I really was tickled to death when I had a chance to meet in a non-combative, non-wrestling way, because this guy is the Russian nightmare, a former world champion wrestler who is now on fire for Christ, who's battling in the army of God and leading people to Christ, also launching a new show himself, Nikita Koloff. And Nikita, your heart's heavy because you've got some roots, my friend, in that part of the world, Minneapolis, Minnesota. So when you saw those streets, those street signs, and heard the news, it really hit you a little different, didn't it?
Stu, great to be with you. I posted something recently about being a native of Minneapolis, Minnesota, grew up in the projects of Minneapolis, and what I said then and what I'll say now is that's where I really learned to love people of all color, and then raised my children to love people of all color. And I mean, some of my all time favorite music is Motown. Some of my best friends are black, and so I grieve along with all of them and with all those out there who are hurt and where there's anger. And but yeah, close to home, Minneapolis, right where I grew up.
Well, Nikita, when you share your testimony, you know, being in wrestling, being in that culture, coming to Christ, you know, somewhere toward the end of your wrestling run, but you know, you also talk a lot about racism. You know, you and Roy, you guys get together, do these awesome conferences. You have your man up, your man camps, all your new program. It's going to be awesome. But you talk about bringing black and white together. What is the message that you see bring healing when you see a black man and a white man embracing each other, praying together on their knees? Tell us about how we get there, and tell us about how, if you have a megaphone to the country right now, which you kind of do with this national program, what's your message?
Well, what you just described, I have done and will continue to do, you know, embrace and hug a brother of another color, get on my knees together, pray together with that brother. And it really, I think at the core, something else I posted recently on social media is that at the core, really, it's an issue of the heart. I mean, we can look at the color of someone's skin, and you know, in fact, I'm reminded of the Bible where it says, you know, God talked about man looking at the outward appearance, but God looking at the heart.
Amen.
And the challenge for all of us is to get past, you know, the color of somebody's skin and their outward appearance,
yep,
and get to know somebody at the heart level. And that's the key, I feel, to any sort of reconciliation, whether it's
black and white, brown, yellow, or people of any color.
Yeah, that's something. So getting to the heart, and, you know, you're from Indianapolis, but this thing is spiraled out. Now there's people out there protesting peacefully that are literally, you know, even praying. I mean, I watched on YouTube, a buddy of mine on my Instagram page, I hope everyone will go to my Instagram page, and you liked it too, with that black hand, white hand, you know, whole in lock together with the scripture above it, you know, how we're called to love our neighbor. If you don't love your neighbor, you're not of God. And so you see Christians, even Christians that are marching peacefully, singing praise and worship songs, like the Atlanta video I saw. But you see some people that aren't of God that are burning, tearing down windows. I mean, lynch, you know, literally destroying and lambasting these stores and taking stuff that's not theirs and shooting people. Four cops killed in St. Louis, you know, with this, you know, really harmful thing. So there's, you know, we don't want to turn a blind eye to that. But also, it's heartbreaking, though, to see that you know, in the last days, men will grow evil. You know, that you have this, a lot of those guys have no idea who George Floyd was. They haven't seen the picture of him holding the Bible with his basketball guys. They know nothing about his brother who spoke an impassioned message this week, who told all the looters to go home and quit doing this garbage. And he said these words. He said, "We're a God-fearing family." But what's your message to people out there about dealing with that? It's such a painful thing to watch, all that evil.
Well, I think, again, just an illustration of the times in which we live. And I think it's pretty clear that there's two sides. There's good and there's evil. Mm. We live in a fallen world. We live in a very broken world. And so we're just visibly seeing, really, I would say, the manifestation of that fallenness, that brokenness, by people who are doing those sorts of things. And I'd be hard-pressed to believe that they have a relationship with Jesus, and that if they did, I would like to think they would not be doing those sorts of things.
Yeah, think of that verse in Corinthians where Paul, he comes out hard against people who are immoral. He comes out hard in 1 Corinthians 6 against people who were idolatrous and immoral, abusing their bodies. And he comes out, but he says, "But such were some of you." In other words, you know, so the Christians that are sitting there thinking, "Oh man, I would never be like that. I would never loot, and I would never." But he says, "Such were some of you." Will you talk about Nikita Koloff before Christ and Nikita Koloff after Christ, and then use that as a way to invite people to really the end game of everything you do, the ultimate three count that we all have to take when we bow our knee to Him.
Yeah, and I don't, you know, BC, before Christ in my life, I wouldn't have considered myself, you know, a horrible guy. But at the same time, I couldn't envision myself, even without Jesus in my life, crashing, you know, bricks through windows and stealing stuff that wasn't mine, you know, destroying property that wasn't mine. Since coming to Christ, you know, it's been a transition for me to go from not knowing Him to coming to know Him in a personal way, inviting Him into my heart, going, if you will, from the dark side, which my wrestling career might have even illustrated a bit of that, right? The epitome of evil, the Russian bear and the Russian nightmare, the epitome of evil, seeing the light, if you will, and coming and partnering with Dusty Rhodes as the superpowers.
The American dream.
American dream, baby, yeah. And it even actually, you like that, don't you?
I love it.
And it actually illustrates my own personal journey of once, you know, born into iniquity, as I was, birthed from the canal of my mother into iniquity, and then 17 October 1993, seeing the light, capital L, and given my life to Jesus, and since that time now, on a crusade to spread the gospel far and wide to as many people as I possibly can, and hopefully see reconciliation, not just between black and white, but the reconciliation of our lost heart to the heart of God.
Wow, that's great. And, you know, this guy's been all over the world preaching the gospel. You've been in how many countries?
Currently 30 different countries so far.
Okay, and Nikita Koloff Ministries, what's your website, Nikita?
Just Koloff.org. Keep it simple, Koloff.org.
I like it. Awesome. You know, what's cool is you Google him or you watch the videos, and I put some things up. And the beauty of that is – you have videos of you wrestling. I mean, and by the way, just from his personal, this teenager, when I was a teenager, you don't know who was, there's never been a happier day in my life other than coming to Christ, obviously, and meeting my sweet wife and having my kids and all those things. But in terms of just a, just an entertainment, you know, monument day, I could probably know exactly where I was, you know, eating a pizza and sipping, you know, orange juice and watching you guys. The day that you turned from running in league in tandem with the bad guys, you know, you turned your back on the Flairs and the Blanchards and the Andersons and the Four Horsemen, and then you know, those wrestling people are tracking with me. And then you went over with Dusty Rhodes and, you know, the Boogie Woogie Man and the Junkyard Dog, the good guys. That was just like a epic moment. So we were so glad you did that. But even more importantly, turning people from darkness to light. And you've set out your second career as an evangelist, how God's used that first career as a platform. World champion wrestler. I mean, you were the highest of high. People were mad at you for retiring because you were just, you were body slamming, you know, Vader, 490 pounds, you know, and all these things, cage matches, world championship, all that stuff. The most hated man at one time, but Nikita Koloff, who's our guest, you came to Christ and now you're turning people back to him. And I guess in this time, we want to be gracious with our black friends who are in, you know, the Bible says bear each other's burdens. So really prayerful, gracious, and speaking to the injustice of the land, but bringing up Jesus early and often in this conversation is so critical, like you're doing with your ministry, right, Nikita?
100%. At the end of the day, I think the only thing that's going to bring, again, true reconciliation, peace, and unity is that personal relationship with Jesus among men. And that as we advocate that and spread that word, that message, then perhaps we'll see a greater sense of peace and unity in our nation and around the world.
Yeah, and I honed in. I was watching the looters, and God broke my heart for one guy who was doing horrible things. And I was angry. I'm like, someone needs to grab that kid and put him in handcuffs. Then the Lord told me, broke my heart, and said, pray for him. So I prayed the Lord would save that kid, because that kid could get saved. That kid could be like you, preaching the gospel all over the world and leading people to Christ. If it weren't for the grace of God, there go I. So I think that that's what we're praying, and that we see what people can be. And that's not to stop the wheels of justice, and that's not to, there, you know, actions have consequences. But during this tough time, we all agree on one thing. We need Jesus, and he's the only one that can help us. Amen?
That is it. I mean, we're going to pray. We're going to have conversations. We're going to, you know, address the elephant in the room, and at the same time, yes, it all comes down to that personal relationship, and that's what, more than anything, what I intend to promote from here on out with the remainder of breath and life that I have left.
Awesome. We're gonna have a podcast of this available. If you go to our you know, Truth Talk Weekend, download the podcast. And we're working on maybe changing the name of the show, the whole show, to Experience Truth. We're working on that too. We'll keep you posted on that. But follow me on Instagram. You'll see a cool video of me and Nikita on Instagram. Instagram is what I call it. Facebook and all the social media. And thank you again to all of our awesome radio stations for carrying this program, all of our partners nationwide and worldwide. And thank you, Nikita Koloff, for bringing people to Christ in the real battle for souls, which is now what you're involved in. And we're excited to hear your new program as the Lord leads and that comes out. I think you're interviewing Lex Luger here soon for one of your segments too, right?
The Total Package, who was known as the Total Package. In my world, he's now the Complete Package, because he surrendered his life to Jesus, and the Lord reconnected us after many years of separation from the wrestling circles, and has now brought us back together to minister together and tag team together and win souls.
Amen. God bless you, man. Thank you.
This is the Truth Network.